Gay marriage is now the law of the land, what it means in Indiana. The Supreme Court upholds Obamacare, how the governor reacted. Hillary in Indy, Joe Hogsett's plan to hire more cops and a new water supply for central Indiana. That plus the chance to win a house by writing an essay and more on Indiana Week in Review for the week ending June 26, 2015. Programming
is made possible by Ice Miller. Ice Miller, with a 100-year tradition of learning what is important to clients and strategizing with them toward a common goal. Today, Ice Miller continues its commitment to help clients build, grow, and protect their interests. More at icemiller.com.
AT&T, working to enhance connectivity in Indiana by investing in communication networks. Dedicated to helping Hoosier businesses grow and consumers succeed both at home and at work. AT&T. Rethink possible.
This week, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in favor of gay marriage. It is now legal in all 50 states. The ruling sparked a celebration in front of the Supreme Court, and there was another later at the Indiana State House. Gay marriage has been legal in Indiana for a year, but the ruling removes all doubt. I got reaction from gay activist Rick Sutton.
What happens to the gay rights movement at this point?
I think we shift slightly after we celebrate today. We shift slightly to the Civil Rights Code in Indiana and making sure that we're an included class there. And that'll take a lot of work.
What does the gay marriage ruling mean in Indiana? It's the first question for our Indiana Week in Review panel, Democrat Ann Delaney. Republican Mike McDaniel. Leslie Weidenbender, editor at thestatehousefile.com, and John Ketzenberger, president of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. I'm Wish TV State House reporter Jim Shella. Mike McDaniel, does this speed the debate on legal protections for gays and lesbians in Indiana?
Well, first of all, I don't think anybody was really surprised at the decision the Supreme Court made. We've been talking about that for a couple of years on this show, based on several lower court rulings that have sure headed in this direction. But I think it extends the debate of protections, and there's no question. I still say that's not going to go away, that it will be a conversation that will take place in the next session of the General Assembly and all summer before that. And I totally think that it's going to have to be dealt with in the next session. I think it will be.
You've got very organized factions of the gay community now who've been working toward this for more than a decade, and they've accomplished it, but they're still organized. Does that help them accomplish the next goal?
Of course it does. Of course it does. And, you know, you get the governor coming out and saying that he's disappointed with the ruling. Well, I mean,
But also said he'll honor it.
Well, he better honor it, because otherwise he goes to jail, for crying out loud. So, big deal. But the fact of the matter is, what he needs to do is to fix what's broken. And what's broken is the Civil Rights Code not extending the protections. So he's against the tide of history here, clearly. And he's even against the tide of his own party, since 58% of Republicans polled say they support equality in marriage. So it's time for Indiana to step up and for him to step up and take the marbles out of his mouth and say what needs to be said, and that is that Indiana's Civil Rights Code needs to extend protection to gays and transgender people.
Is it more difficult now to oppose gay marriage, now that the legal fight is over?
Yeah. Opposing gay marriage is a moot point at this point. It's the law of the land, issued, settled, period. And so now the question is what we've been talking about, and that is for protection under the civil rights law in Indiana. And I think the governor continues to miss opportunities to get out in front of the issue. He could have done that in a statement today. He said something like, well, I'm disappointed. I still believe in what I believe. But I think that in light of the way things are going, this would be an opportunity to get in front of that issue. He hasn't done that. It doesn't look like he will. But I think Mike is absolutely right. The situation has changed. People are organized. People are motivated. And the governor and the legislature have missed several opportunities to get in front of the issue and be where the vast majority is.
And I think that Republicans, we do see that more Republicans favor same-sex marriage or favor having protections in state law. It's not a majority in all cases, but it's obviously moving. And even if the governor didn't come out and say we should do it, the Republicans would probably do better to at least say we'll entertain the option or we'll have a conversation about it or... And they kind of have done that, but, I mean, Mike Pence hasn't really. And
David Long has.
But
Brian Bosma has not.
You know, in the rally that was held at the State House this afternoon, only one politician was mentioned by any of the speakers, and that was Mike Pence. I mean, he's really kind of the point man on the other side of this. He's something of a lightning rod.
Well, he became the lightning rod because of the way the whole RIFRA issue was handled. There's no question about that. But you got to remember that I don't completely agree with the idea that people in Indiana are totally over the idea that marriage should be between a man and a woman. It is the law that same-sex marriage is possible, but there's still a lot of people in the state that believe that marriage should be between a man and a woman.
Mike, I agree with you. I think that's true, but I do think, though, that there are more and more people who are starting to say things like, just... fine.
Right. There's still a lot of Hoosiers out there who feel that that's the way it ought to be. That's what it says in the Bible. That's the way it ought to be.
Sure.
And this is still a Bible Belt state, and a lot of people have that feeling.
The Bible also says you can have slavery and other things, too.
Well,
and
you know,
the time has come. Nobody's
you can
gonna
pick
force...
and choose. You can pick and choose what you believe out of there, but there are a lot of people who feel strongly about that based on that reading.
Those people ought to stick to the heterosexual relationship.
Something that's clearly shifted completely the other way now. Public opinion has certainly gone
that
way.
Right. So you're saying,
but there's still people
right.
out there who feel strongly
but
about that.
Have you ever
issue.
Seen something move so
I've
quickly?
I've never seen anything move as
I've
fast.
I've never seen anything move
and it's
so
going
fast.
To be more and more difficult for it to go the other way.
I think in the introduction to his decision, Justice Kennedy made a salient observation, and he said, and I'm paraphrasing here, essentially, times change, history changes, and we are on that point of change right now. And anybody who's looked at a poll will understand that. And that's where I think we are right now.
All right. Still with the Supreme Court. It upheld Obamacare subsidies this week. They go to 34 states where there are no state health insurance exchanges. As many as 200,000 Hoosiers received them. Indiana House Minority Leader Scott Peloth reacted by saying it's time to end challenges to Obamacare that he called vindictive. Governor Mike Pence said he was profoundly disappointed by the ruling.
Obamacare is deeply flawed and has resulted in more than a 50% increase in insurance premiums here in the state of Indiana. And the people of Indiana, people across this country know that this deeply flawed law should be repealed, and we should replace it with the kind of health care reform that empowers individuals rather than mandating that people purchase health insurance or face penalties and taxes.
And Delaney, is that ruling a defeat for Mike Pence?
Clearly. And, you know, he ought to watch it because, you know, it was raining today and there was thunder and lightning. And he could have been struck down for the hypocrisy of that because his 2.0 program is Obamacare. Okay? Plain and simple.
It's an expansion of Medicaid by another name, which is a part of Obamacare. And he's trying very hard to differentiate between the two.
Lots of luck.
Yeah.
Because he'd be having to pay back billions of dollars to the federal government if it weren't for those subsidies. So, it's complete hypocrisy on his part and on the part of the Attorney General. I mean, he's going ahead now and saying he's going to continue his lawsuit so that the poorer paid members of school corporations can be denied health care.
The state has a lawsuit along with 39 school districts challenging the requirement that employees who work 30 hours be provided health care.
Because the federal government should
not
be taxing government units.
The state doesn't have a lawsuit anymore. It's only the school districts.
Yeah.
He was thrown out of federal court by a Republican judge because he had no standing to bring it. He ought to be using his own campaign money. He wants to run in the 9th District for Congress, and what he's doing is using this as a forum The Supreme Court upheld the constitutionality of the statute twice, and it's not going to fold on the basis of Greg Zeller.
This argument will go forward on the question of whether or not the federal government can tax.
Joe Donnelly is behind that effort.
And so that one's going to go forward. But this decision was more surprising to me than anything that's happened so far. And the reason I say that is because, you know, you remember when this law was passed, Nancy Pelosi said, well, let's go ahead and pass this. We'll find out what's in it later, because it's so convoluted and so complicated. Mm-hmm. And it's probably one of the most poorly written laws going. Well, she was probably wrong. We had to go to the Supreme Court to find out what's in it. And even Justice Roberts, in his opinion, said, ignore what the line says that you have to go to exchange sponsored by the government to get the subsidies. He basically said, in essence, ignore that. You got to look at the bigger picture.
Right.
So that's the surprise.
You always look at
that's
the whole
a surprise statute. In this whole thing is the way he ignored it. And Scalia was right. You might as well call this SCOTUS care.
You know,
but I think, again, Mike Pence is an interesting character in this, because he's been an opponent in Congress, in the governor's office. I mean, the fact that he didn't set up a state exchange was an effort to kill Obamacare.
Oh, absolutely. He has made no secret of the fact that he would like for Obamacare to be repealed. It is interesting, though, HIP 2.0 is built on the funding that comes along with Obamacare.
Right.
And so, and I know that the governor would argue that what he wants is flexibility for all states to do the things that they want to do.
Right.
But you would still need the funding to do
right.
it. And that money is currently coming from the federal government through the Medicaid program. And if you repealed Obamacare, you would have to put in place something to do the things he wants to do. But I haven't heard Republicans say what that would be.
So what Mike Pence and what a lot of other Republicans are saying, including Dan Coats, is that now what we need is to make this the focus of the 2016 campaign, and the next president may have a chance to repeal Obamacare. By the time we get to 2017, this is going to be pretty ingrained.
The longer that this goes, the more difficult it will be for anyone to repeal this, because it is doing what it was advertised to do. It's extended insurance coverage to far more people than would have had it before. It's done it in a relatively efficient and manner that's affordable for more people than was before. There are winners and losers. You can't deny that. But I think that the more it goes, the more difficult it becomes to repeal, unless, and this is the big unless, they have a concrete plan to offer as an alternative.
Well,
and no one has done that.
Yeah, they have not
this'll
come
be,
together for that.
This will be a focal point of the presidential campaign. There's no question about it. Because if you have a Republican president or Republican Congress, they will change it to make it more affordable, make more coverage, and let patients decide where they're going
to
get their
But they won't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Well, you can't throw the whole thing out. It's too much now.
Yeah.
But why are they
but you
saying
can,
that?
You can make
yeah,
it
right.
better.
Why are they
well, Dan
saying
Coats
that?
Said exactly that.
But they haven't offered any concrete
Dan
ideas.
Dan Coats said exactly
they
that.
Don't
they
have
haven't
any
said
concrete
anything.
Ideas.
Wait a minute.
They can't agree to
in
today's
the,
Friday.
In the spirit of Nancy Pelosi, I think we'll have to pass it first, then find out what's
all right.
It's too deeply ingrained. It's staying. Now, does it need to be tweaked? Of course it does. And if they were just serious about it, they'd do it.
It needs to be tweaked.
But in Congress today, you can't tweak anything.
No, you can't do anything.
Speaking of the 2016 race for president, Hillary Clinton held an Indiana fundraiser this week. It was an afternoon affair at the Carmel home of Cindy Simon Scott. Hillary supporters paid $2,700 each to attend the private event. Democratic State Representative Ed Delaney is one of them.
Well, if she could get through highway funding, we could rebuild our roads. That'd be a pretty good thing. If she could strengthen the health care program, that'd be a pretty good thing for Indiana. If she could help us with our educational system, keep college tuition down. Yeah, those are things that are very, very good for Indiana that she could do.
Interesting to see Ed Delaney offering talking points on her behalf. She didn't, Jack Hetzenberger, she didn't make a media splash at all on this visit.
Well, one, that's not a surprise for a couple of reasons. One, in terms of fundraiser forays, they often come and go. As long as the check's clear, they're happy. And two, she's made a habit of this. I mean, Hillary Clinton has not been making any kind of media appearances, has not been answering any questions, and she intends apparently to do it on her own time and in her own state situation. So she's not out of character in Indianapolis. That's true.
Well, you saw, Leslie, the only way we could get any video of Hillary Clinton was to use a helicopter. I mean, a little bit of publicity might be good for a presidential campaign, wouldn't it?
That is certainly the conventional wisdom, but it's not like people don't know who Hillary Clinton is. They have made the calculated decision that they don't need to be going around depending on the media for things. And if you talk to the people who are covering her campaign, they're not getting any access either. It's not like she was just dissing Indianapolis.
As somebody said, she's not answering questions in New Hampshire or Iowa. Why would she answer questions in Indiana? In fact, when she campaigned in Indiana in 2008, she seldom did an interview where she didn't have somebody else in the picture, like Evan Bayh or Sarah Fisher. What do you think of that?
Well, I think whoever's running her campaign right now is very smart. And the reason I say that is because the last thing you want her to be is overexposed, because once she gets out in public and people see that personality up close and personal in exchange with everyday individuals, it's not going to play well for her. And they're going to do their best to try to protect her as long as they can before she's forced to go out and talk to people.
It was a very, very successful event. Oversold.
You were there.
I was there. Oversold. And she did a masterful job on her presentation. And you will see a world of difference between the way she presents herself and the way she discusses herself, her family, and the issues in this campaign as opposed to 2008. And I think she was very, very effective.
But should you have to pay $2,700 to find that
out? Should you have to pay it? You won't have to pay it as the campaign advances. The rest of us wanted to pay it because we wanted to help elect Hillary Clinton and help elect the first woman president of the United States.
Moving on.
Nobody twisted arms.
Joe Hogsett unveiled his public safety plan this week. He wants to hire 150 more police officers and return to, quote, neighborhood-based policing. Hogsett also wants to create a special unit for domestic violence and increase transparency.
And we also know that no neighborhood should be condemned to accept hopelessness as their permanent burden to bear.
And on the other side of the race for mayor of Indianapolis, Republican Chuck Brewer this week made a call for 9 debates. Leslie Weidenbender, how many will he get?
I think he'll get 1. Maybe 2. I hope that Joe Hogsett gives him some. I think every candidate should be willing to debate, but he's certainly not going to get 9.
In the last race for mayor, I think there were 2.
And the first time around the current mayor Ballard was elected, I think there were maybe 3. And so you aren't going to have a lot of those. It's not in the front runner's best interest, probably. But I agree that it's in the public's interest to have these kinds of opportunities. And if, any candidate worth his salt should be willing to do the debate.
Yeah, if you can't do a debate, then you don't have any business in public
office. I agree.
What do you think of this hiring 150 new cops?
Where's
it's not clear where the money will come
from.
Well,
of course it isn't. I mean, that's what the property tax freeze is all about. The legislature won't act to help municipal governments around the state. You talk to Democratic or Republican mayors, and they're all being squeezed in an effort to provide the basic services. The crime rate's running rampant. Murder rate is up. We don't have enough police on the streets. Those are all givens. And we don't have the money to pay for them, and the legislature's going to have to do something about that.
So he's going to look to the legislature to come up with this? He's going to promise 150 cops and
I'm sure that he's looking at city government and everything that's there to see what he can cut to come up with the money. But what I'm saying is that this is a statewide problem facing mayors of both political parties, because the property tax freeze means basic services aren't being provided.
Will this be a competitive race?
Yeah, I think it will be. I for the first time this week, I had a chance to hear both candidates in the same week and talk about what they see for the future of the city. And I was impressed with Chuck Brewer, who I did not met before this week. This guy
That's not a good sign.
Well,
right
but this guy, this guy's very articulate, and he's good on his feet. He's well-spoken. And I tell you what, I can understand why Joe Hogsett wouldn't want a lot of debates with this guy, because he's going to be good if they have him. But I will say this 150 cop idea is, first of all, anytime we can add cops to the force, I'm for that. I think that's a great idea. But in this particular case, when you lay this plan next to the one that's already in place, it only adds about 35 police officers. And so if he runs commercials that says, I'm adding 150 cops, that's an exaggeration out the door, exaggeration. And that'll come back to bite him. And this is the kind of exaggeration that gets him in trouble in previous campaigns. And if he's going to start by doing this kind of stuff and think nobody's paying attention, he's wrong, because that's not an addition of 150 police officers. And so regardless of him not being able to tell you where the money's going to come from, and I don't begrudge them for saying we want to have a goal of having a certain number of people, But don't make it up that you're adding that many when you're not. It's only 35 at most, and that's really too bad.
Well, then
right now they're set to add 300.
Well, then Ballard already found the funding for all the rest of them, right?
Right.
So then there's no problem.
And there, but you're going to add 4.2 million for the other 35 in, so we're the 4.2 million, which is what it costs.
I see.
Time now for viewer feedback. Each week we pose an unscientific online poll question in conjunction with our Ice Miller email and text alerts. This week's question, how many mayoral debates should take place? Your choices are A, one is enough, B, nine, C, somewhere between one and nine, or D, none. Last week's question, will the poll numbers prompt Mike Pence to change his position on statewide equality? 7% said yes. 59% said no, 34% said only if a Republican challenger emerges. If you'd like to take part in the poll, go to WFYI.org/IWIR and look for the poll. A new reservoir is coming to Fishers, and it's going to store a lot of water. Citizens Energy Group is building the reservoir on an 88-acre site owned by IMI. It's a rock quarry near Geist Reservoir. When finished in 2020, the Citizens Reservoir will store 2.7 billion gallons of water, more than 40% of the capacity of Geist. Citizens says it's needed to meet the area's growing demand for drinking water over the next 25 years. Neighbor Wes Stanley.
I just last week replaced my windshield in my car from an IMI truck, so the fewer trucks around, the better for me.
And Delaney, is that plan visionary?
I think they're planning, and they're planning properly. If the need is there, I particularly like that it's not going to be subject to development, that they're going to keep the land free of development.
No, houses will be built around it. No recreational watercraft will go on it.
Unlike what happened when Geist was done. So I think that that's a good program, and obviously they're thinking ahead, and that's to their credit.
What does this do to plans for the Mounds Reservoir?
Well, that's what's curious about this. First of all, I think the Mounds project is a good idea because I think water is going to be critically important to the growth of central Indiana. I think this is a good idea. I think using that particular quarry for this is a great idea. Obviously, you can't make it for recreational use because of the depth of this thing. And I'm worried about the safety of making sure that nobody can get in there and get around it because it will be a dangerous place to be. But we need this water going forward for the growth of the state, and hopefully it won't stand in the way of the other project because that would be huge for this area also.
Yeah, can the two coexist?
I don't know enough about it. I mean, I don't understand all of the science there and everything that we need to know. I think that's certainly a question for the future. But our water usage and planning for the future is incredibly important. Lawmakers are really starting to take that seriously. So is the chamber and all the utilities. And so I think there'll be a lot of projects like this in the future, and it would help to have a good statewide plan so that as these things come up and there may be conflict, there's a way toward resolving them.
It will mean higher water bills.
Well, they will develop it. And, you know, as water becomes more scarce, fresh water becomes more scarce and more difficult, of course it'll become more expensive. But it is the one commodity that we all need in order to live. And so you do what you have to do to plan. And the nice thing about this one is that it doesn't have the effect on the other wider environment that the other project does.
Finally, a Columbus family will give its 6,200-square-foot home to the winner of an essay contest. You can get in it with 250 words and a $150 entry fee. The subject of the essay is a life well-lived. The Railing family says you can write about your life or someone else's. Deanna Railing says the inspiration came from her husband's life story. He broke his neck when he was 17 and is a quadriplegic.
He went and he finished college. He then worked, and he worked for many years full-time, and we are married, we have children, we're adopting more children. To me, he's the epitome of a life well-lived, and I thought, I want to hear more people's stories like that.
Mike McDaniel, good idea?
I think this is a great idea. I first of all, it is an inspiring story that they have, and they want to hear more, but, you know, I've seen pictures of this house. It's a beautiful home. Somebody, whoever wins this thing for $150 is really going to have the win of a lifetime, assuming you can afford the property taxes and everything that goes with it. But no, it's a great story, and I think it's a creative idea, and they're getting national attention with it.
Yeah, it's a story that went viral on the internet. I mean, obviously, a lot of people are interested.
Sure. I mean, it's got It's got all the features of a terrific human interest story, and they're playing it forward, and they deserve a lot of credit for that.
You going to enter the essay contest?
You know, I'm thinking about it, Jim. Maybe I'll talk about you.
I suggest you try to win.
Okay, I'll write about less.
Might as well just set fire to your $150.
It's Indiana Week in Review for this week. Our panel is Democrat Ann Delaney, Republican Mike McDaniel, Leslie Weidenbender of the StateHouseFile.com, and John Ketzenberger of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. If you'd like a podcast of this program, you can find it at WFYI.org/IWIR, or starting Monday, you can stream it or get it on demand from Xfinity or Bright House Networks. I'm Jim Shella of Wish TV. We'll see you again next week.
Programming is made possible by Ice Miller. Ice Miller, with a 100-year tradition of learning what is important to clients and strategizing with them toward a common goal. Today, Ice Miller continues its commitment to help clients build, grow, and protect their interests. More at icemiller.com.
AT&T, working to enhance connectivity in Indiana by investing in communication networks. Dedicated to helping Hoosier businesses grow and consumers succeed both at home and at work. AT&T. Rethink possible.